This podcast is brought to you by our friends at BMO ETFs, one of the largest and most trusted providers of ETFs in Canada, with almost a quarter of the assets in the Canadian ETF market. Whether you're looking for broad-based ETFs, asset allocation products, covered call-focused funds, or so much more, they've got you covered. BMO ETFs are truly in a class of their own, and they're helping so many Canadians reach their financial goals. I'd encourage you to visit their website, BMOETFs.com, to explore if any of their products may be a great fit for you. Full disclaimer at the end of the episode.
Welcome to the program. On today's episode, I'm going to be covering the latest efforts to bring the open banking system to Canada. And for Canadians, this will be a big deal. Also, the lack of skilled tradespeople here at home is starting to hit us all in the pocketbook. Elon Musk visits China, and the result is some awesome news for Tesla. And Canada Life is facing sanctions from the federal government. Today is Monday, April the 29th, 2024. Let's get started with today's stories. I've been reading more and more recently about the possibility of open banking finally coming to Canada. And what open banking will do is it will allow customers and businesses to share their financial data between approved banks and fintech companies. The goal here is to streamline services like budgeting apps, price comparison tools. In Ottawa's latest budget, there was a $1 million item put in there for the Financial Consumer Agency of Canada and another $4.1 million over a three-year time period for the Ministry of Finance. The goal here is to prepare for an open banking framework by 2025. The proposed framework, this would enable secure and standardized data sharing across Canada, of course, with user permission, and it would address security concerns that have delayed the progress so far. Fintech companies, they've brought to attention the fact that Canada is lagging behind other countries. They use Australia as the example here, which implemented the open banking legislation in just 2 years with much higher funding. Now, the benefits of open banking are quite numerous here. They have enhanced financial control. So consumers and businesses can share their financial data securely between approved banks and these fintech companies. This gives the consumer more control over their financial information. Open banking also encourages innovation and competition. This system sort of prompts banks and these fintech firms to develop new and better products for services and consumers. There's also easier comparison. Under the system, consumers can more easily compare financial products, things like bank accounts, things like loans. This will help us make better and more informed decisions and makes it easier also to switch banks. There's a streamlined application process. So open banking enables secure data transfer. And this simplifies application for things like mortgages, loans. It reduces this need for the manual collection of information. There's also reduced costs. So if you have increased competition, that can lead to lower banking fees and borrowing costs, as well as possibly higher interest rates for savings accounts, which of course is a benefit to customers. And also there is greater security in the system here. If you have a standardized secure framework for open banking, it reduces the reliance on less secure data sharing messages like screen scraping that's used now. This makes for financial transactions to be much safer. Now, Hannah Zaidi, she's VP at Wealthsimple. She compares this to keeping one's phone number when you switch providers, and that enables easier bank switching and product comparison. And for those of you who are younger in the crowd, when you used to move, even to a new house, you would have to change your phone number. Or of course, even if you changed a cell phone, you'd have to get a new number. Way back in the day. Now, finally on this topic, Andrew Chow, he's the co-founder at Neo Financial, and he highlights the benefits of increased competition. He says, with increased competition, naturally you will get better pricing when it comes to bank fees, borrowing money, or earning higher interest rates on savings. These developments indicate a promising future for open banking in Canada. There is a growing shortage of skilled tradespeople here in Canada, and that's driving up the costs for consumers, according to many industry experts. They say that the lack of qualified workers is affecting a number of different sectors, from construction to hospitality. It has led to higher prices for food and services pretty much across the board. Mandy Renahan, she's the CEO of construction company Freshco Retail Maintenance. She highlights how the shortage is impacting various services. She says, it used to be $70 or $80 for someone to come to your house as a service call just to look at your dishwasher. Now you're going to pay double that. And the issue here isn't just limited to certain sectors. Pretty much anyone can expect to bear the cost of impact from shortage across the entire system. The shortage has led to a $38 billion loss in business opportunities for small Canadian firms in 2022. The construction sector, the hospitality sector, they've been particularly hard hit. And Kelly Higginson, he's the president of Restaurants Canada. He says, currently our industry has over 78,000 job postings. So this has put significant pressure on wages. As a result of this, menu prices are expected to rise. I mean, they've risen so much over the last few years. This reflects the costs of adding skilled labor. In the housing sector, the shortage of skilled tradespeople is contributing also to higher construction costs. The shortage here has a significant impact on the supply and prices of essential goods and services. If you're a subscriber to our weekly Pulse newsletter, you will have seen an article this past weekend where I was talking about Harvest Industrial Leaders Income ETF, which is HIND on the TSX. Now, for the most part, when you look at industrials, they're companies that manufacture machinery, they have handheld tools, industrial products. But this sector also includes aerospace, defense firms, as well as companies engaged in transportation and logistics services. Now, in 2023, the U.S. manufacturing industry capitalized on three key legislative changes from 2021 and 2022, and these focus on infrastructure, clean energy, semiconductor development. The aims here is to bolster the job growth and to foster workplace equity. The new laws have had an impact already across various sectors, and this includes the semiconductors, the clean energy components, electric vehicles, batteries, and the constituent parts and raw materials for all of these products. Now, HIND, it seeks to tap into the manufacturing industry as it's poised right now to benefit from the passing of these acts. And indeed, the legislation has already spurred record private sector investment in the manufacturing space. HIND will seek to provide unit holders with the opportunity for capital appreciation and monthly cash distributions. And to achieve the distributions and to help lower volatility, HIND will employ a covered call writing strategy on up to 33% of the portfolio securities. All in all, the fund seeks to provide investors exposure to industrial leaders that drive innovation with steady monthly income. You can learn more about the Harvest Industrial Leaders Income ETF, HIND on the TSX. You can visit the website by going to the link in the description of this video. Shares of Tesla were up around 16% this morning. That follows strong gains at the end of last week. And this follows new news that the company has passed a significant milestone with the goal of rolling out its advanced driver assistance technology in China. And it coincides, the announcement here, the development, with Tesla CEO Elon Musk's visit to China. What's happened here is that Chinese authorities have lifted restrictions on Tesla vehicles after they have now passed data security checks. And this raises the hopes that full self-driving, or FSD software, which is an upgrade to Tesla's autopilot system, will soon be available in China, which is, of course, the world's largest electric vehicle market. Tesla has been offering FSD in China for years now, but with limited features. Tesla has also been given a huge boost to a reported partnership with Baidu, which will give Tesla access to mapping navigation software, which of course is vital for the operation of its FSD system on Chinese roads. And the partnership will allow Tesla to gather essential data about traffic, routes, and road signs. So there's no doubt that this is a significant victory for Tesla, especially amidst the growing competition from local Chinese makers like BYD, NIO, and XPeng. The Canadian government has taken steps to address ongoing issues with Canada Life's management of the Public Service Health Insurance Plan. And these are issues that started after the responsibility for the plan was transferred from Sun Life to Canada Life on July 1st of last year. The transition was meant to allow Canada Life to take over administration smoothly, but ongoing service delays, denied claims have led to financial sanctions that have been imposed against the company. According to Public Services and Procurement Canada, so PSPC, Canada Life had a six-month period to transition smoothly before its service levels were evaluated, but now we've seen complaints from public servants, retirees, and their families that are starting to grow, and the PCSP has started applying financial sanctions against Canada Life, though specifics of the sanctions have not been disclosed yet. Stephanie Montreal, the spokesperson for the Professional Institute of the Public Service in Canada, she says these sanctions really are only to acknowledge the fact that Canada Life is not respecting its contract. It is not compensating our members. It is not ensuring that there's a place in plan so that this does not continue to happen. Now, Canada Life, in its defense, they say that the early challenges related to the transition have been resolved. It says that benefits are now starting to be delivered within the expected service levels. However, ongoing delays and denials, particularly for international claims that are managed by MSH International, these continue to frustrate plan members, and this has led to further calls for improvements and legal remedies. Now, the government has committed to working daily with Canada Life to ensure the company and its subcontractors meet their contractual obligations. Treasury Board President Anita Anand says all public servants deserve the highest quality of service for their healthcare plans. So the situation as it stands right now is still remaining in flux, and union leaders and the government are continuing to press for solutions to ensure proper coverage for all of its members. Quick bit of homework here. I will be taking a few weeks off for some travel, so I will not be posting back here until the week of May 20th. For those of you who subscribe to our Pulse newsletter, I will be taking a pause on that as well. Time for a little bit of R&R. As always, thank you for watching this video, and we'll see you in a few weeks.
This content is intended for information purposes only. This content has been prepared by Beavis Wealth and represents its assessment at the time of publication. Beavis Wealth is compensated under this arrangement by BMO Exchange Traded Funds. The content contained herein does not necessarily represent the views of BMO Global Asset Management. The views expressed herein by Beavis Wealth are subject to change without notice. The content contained herein is not and should not be construed as investment advice to any party. Any securities described herein must be evaluated relative to the individual's investment objectives and risk tolerance, and professional advice should be obtained with respect to the individual's particular circumstances. The views expressed herein by Beavis Wealth regarding a particular company, security, industry, or market sector should not be considered as an indication of trading intent of any investment funds managed by BMO Global Asset Management. Any reference to a particular company is for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell, nor should it be considered as an indication of how the portfolio of any investment fund managed by BMO Global Asset Management is or will be invested. This social media network is an independent organization and is not affiliated with BMO Global Asset Management. BMO Global Asset Management is a brand name under which BMO Asset Management Inc. and BMO Investments Inc. operate.